I desire that you would earnestly pray for me and with me, that I'd be able to share with you what the Lord has given me. I believe the Lord said, the word says very plainly that his word would not return into void, but it would accomplish exactly what the Lord wants it to accomplish. We have nothing to offer in and of ourselves, but the Lord does. So pray for us and with us. Want to write on the board? I've written revelation or religion. And I'd like for you, if you would, turn to me, with me, to Galatians, the first chapter. And I want to begin reading at the sixth verse. Galatians 1, verse 6. If you have it, you can read it for us, please.
I marvel.
That you're so soon removed from him that had called you from the grace of Christ
unto another gospel.
It's not another gospel.
There be some that trouble you.
Christ.
And they would pervert the gospel of Christ.
But though we.
Oh, we.
Or an angel from heaven.
Or an angel from heaven.
Preach any other gospel
preach
unto you.
Preach any other gospel unto you.
Than that which we have preached
unto you. Than
that
which we have preached.
Let him be accursed.
Let him be accursed.
As we said before.
As we said before.
So say I now again.
Say I now again.
If any man. Preach any other gospel unto you.
If he preaches any other gospel unto you.
Than that ye have received.
Than that ye have received.
Let him be accursed.
Let him be accursed.
For do I now persuade men or God?
Do I now persuade men or God?
Or do I seek to please men?
Do I seek to please men? Is this something that I'm doing to please men?
For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren,
that the gospel which was preached of me
is not after man.
For I neither received it of man.
Neither was I taught it.
But by the revelation of Christ.
For ye have heard of my conversation
in time past
in the Jews' religion
how that beyond measure
I persecuted the church of God
and wasted it
and profited
in the Jews' religion
among many my equals
in my own nation
being more exceeding zealous
of the tradition of my fathers.
But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb,
and called me by his grace,
to reveal his son in me,
that I might preach him among the heathens,
immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood.
Now let's stop there. I wanted to give you basically a background. This is Paul that's talking to him, and he's talking to the Galatians, and he's saying here, he said, I'm baffled by what you're doing. I'm baffled by you turning away from the Lord into another gospel. And you're beginning to listen to something else and hear something else. He's baffled by that. And when we take into consideration what Paul was dealing with, Paul is saying, it was revealed to me. Once you have a revelation of this truth, of the truth of God's word, the revelation of the gospel, it changes you. There's something different, and we can't understand it. I can't understand it. When there's someone that has known the truth of God's word, they turn around and they start doing something different. And may the Lord help us. Now, I think that there are some very important things that we've got to get a hold of here that Paul brings out. One of the things that he says, he did not learn this in and of himself. He learned it. It was revealed to him by Christ. So he makes a very good distinction between a difference in revelation and a difference in religion. Now, when we take into consideration what religion basically is a set of rules. It's a set of do's and don'ts. You can't do this. You can't do that. You are supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that. You take any religion, doesn't matter what it is. You take the Muslim religion, you take the Catholic religion, you take all of these. There are certain ordinances, there are certain laws, there are certain do's and don'ts that you have to abide by. And in the same way, we can turn the Christian faith into a religion, all right? So we call it a religion, and I understand for the sake of understanding it, we call it a religion. But it's really not just a religion, it is something more. What God wants us to do is to know the person of Jesus Christ. All right? He wants us to know who Jesus is. And this is the whole purpose of all the do's and don'ts, all the things that are there. What you're looking at when you talk about the Muslim religion or any other religion, all these set of things, it is not so much for them to get to know a person. It is for them to do abide by the religious tenets, the things that are required of them. They are to abide by those things, and you're going to be a good little Muslim man, or you're going to be a good little Christian if you don't go here, you don't go there, you don't do this, and you don't do that. It's more than that. We need to have that clear understanding that it's more than just the do's and don'ts of a religion. All right? When you have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, and this is what Paul was talking about. Paul is saying, I marvel at that. I marvel that you've so soon turned away from it, because I got it. I had a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. I had a religion before. I had an understanding that the Jews' religion that I excelled in, and I was one of those who did everything right. I did it just like it's supposed to. Do you know you can do that right here today? You can do everything just like the saints do and still not have a relationship with the Lord, not the proper relationship with the Lord. You can be zealous, overzealous of the traditions of our fathers. Well, this is the way the saints have always done it, so I'm going to do it like that, and I'm going to be a good little boy or a good girl in the things of God. No, there's more to it than that. God does not want you just to wear long sleeves, long dresses, pull your hair back, whatever it is that we do. The Lord wants more than that. He is not interested in that at all, shall we say. I want you to understand me when I say that. What the Lord is interested in is you having a personal relationship with Him. All right? He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know who He is. He wants to reveal Himself, to open Himself up, and to show Himself, show you who He is. All right? So he goes here, he says, I marvel. I am surprised. I'm shocked. I'm baffled by what you're going through. I went through all of this. I was very zealous in all the things that I did. I was very zealous in it, and I'm baffled. But the Lord appeared to me. The Lord showed Himself to me on the road to Damascus. And now I marvel that you didn't get that same kind of a revelation. Now, I don't believe the Lord has appeared to any of us on the road to Damascus, but the Lord has revealed Himself through the truth of His Word. And if we'll study it, and we'll get to know it, and we'll get to see the revelation of Jesus Christ, it'll mean all of these do's and don'ts will mean something then. You know, may the Lord help us. I was one of them that didn't want to do all the things that the church was saying. I saw it, and excuse me for using myself, but I saw, you know, I want to go to a different church. I want to go to a Baptist church. I want to go somewhere else. And let me tell you, what happens is the Lord begins to talk to your heart, and he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, I want to show you some things. I want to show you some things about me, who I really am. And once you get to know who God is, you can't turn around from that. You can't turn around from it. Or if you do, there's something grossly wrong with your vision, with your understanding. May the Lord help us. All right, so he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that has called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. But I'm doing something else. I'm doing something a little different. And I think it's just as good as what you're doing. We would be wrong to say, and I heard people say, well, y'all believe y'all are the only ones going to heaven. No, we don't. He says that there is a number that no man can number. There's a whole lot more folks that just come to Monarch. There's billions of people that never heard of Monarch. So you think they're not going to go to heaven? No, they're going to go to heaven because God has a way of appearing and revealing Himself to all of us. All right? So we need to understand that. But let me tell you, no one is going to go if they're not living right. And so what happens is every one of us is to live to the level of our understanding. So my understanding may be a little different than yours. I may not have the kind of depth that you have, the kind of understanding that you have. The Lord may not have revealed Himself to me to the level that he's revealed Himself to you. But let me tell you, to what He's revealed to me, the light that is shown on me, my responsibility is to live right there according to where the Lord has chosen me to live there, right? I don't have to live above that. You know what I tell them? I think this is an important thing for us, all of us, to understand. Let people live where they are. Let them live where they are. Because if we try to push them up beyond where they are, it's not going to work. I've seen that down through the years. It's not going to work. Somebody is trying to be all pious and saintly like everybody else, and they don't have it. But let me tell you, yes, live where you are, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. There is a greater level of revelation, a greater level of understanding that the Lord wants to give you. And let me tell you what it's going to take. There are a few things that it's going to take. One thing that he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace. of Christ unto another gospel. Let me tell you, every time the Lord reveals something to us, it takes grace for us to live up to it. All right? We're not going to, the Lord shows us something and shows us something that he wants us to do. Do you know the Lord gives us an opportunity and a time to get up to that particular level, and he gives us the grace to be able to do it as well. If we don't have the grace, and what is grace? Divine favor. Yes, it's divine favor, but it's also divine power. And let me tell you what the scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. There are going to be some times in your life and some times in your experience that you're going to need the grace of God. You're going to need the power of God to be able to do the things that God is requiring of you to do. Doesn't matter what it is. It may be something as simple as standing up in front of the congregation and testifying or leading out in prayer. It doesn't necessarily have to be getting behind and preaching. It can be something simple. And Lord, my insecurities is that I don't like speaking in front of people. Well, I don't either. But God gives us the grace to do it, doesn't he? And the Lord's going to give you, well, Lord, I'm going to disobey you because I know I'm going to sound silly when I kneel down in this prayer meeting and somebody wants me to pray and I'm not going to do it because the Lord is requiring it of you. He says, I'll show you a little bit more of me if you'll do it. I'll reveal myself a little bit more. I'll go a little bit deeper if you'll do it, and I'll give you the power to do it. So what does it say when it goes boldly to the throne? What is a throne? It's a place where a king sits, right? What does a king have? He has authority. He has power. He has power over all the realm, over all the kingdom, right? So if I come boldly to the throne of grace, that I can obtain mercy. There's going to be times in my experience that I'm going to have the mercy of the Lord. All right? All down through my experience, that I can obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Where the Lord holds out his scepter to us. Lord, give me the power. Give me the grace that I need to be able to do what you're telling me. Give me the grace to be obedient. Give me the grace to submit. Give me the grace to go through the trial. Whatever it may be, God gives us the power and the grace. So do you see how he puts that here? He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed. You decided that you didn't want to do this because of what? It was too hard? It was too difficult? It was something you didn't think was necessary or whatever it is. But if you know in the depths of your heart that God is requiring a particular thing of you, your job is to get the grace to be able to do it. Now the Lord's going to give you all the time that you need. And saints, let us give them time too. Sometimes we feel like we're the police, that we want to go and measure everybody up. Let them live where they are. Let them stay there as long as they need to stay. As long as there's this little flicker of light and there's hope, isn't it? Let them live there, but encourage them. Encourage them as the Lord gives it to you. Sometimes the way to encourage them, just put your arm around them and let them know, I love you. Don't say anything about what they're doing and what they're not doing. That can discourage a person. May the Lord help us. Lord, help me to be able, help us all to be able to live, to encourage people to go up to the next level. We need to go up to the next level. You know, as a minister of the gospel, all of us that are ministers, we've been ministers for a little while, or whatever it may be, do you realize that there are places in our experience that the Lord says you can't stay there? You got to go up to another level. You know why? Because you're taking the congregation along. And if you don't have it, they're going to stop where you are. There's going to be just very few that have the tenacity or the ability to go beyond where you go. So you're the leader. Your job is, Lord, I'm challenged by it. And Lord, this is difficult. I thought I'd already gotten down and got as much grace as I need. But the Lord says, there's another level. I want to reveal myself a little bit more. Just like peeling the layers off. And I want to show you who I am. I want to open up myself to you. I want you to see who I really am. And as the Lord reveals himself to you, you know what? You can reveal him to other people. All right, I marvel. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel. All right, I want to read a couple. I want to go down a little bit more here. I want to read the scripture. If you'll get for me 1 Peter 1 and 13. 1 Peter 1 and 13.
Wherefore, gird up the loins
of your mind.
Be sober.
Be sober.
And hope to the end for the grace.
And hope to the end for the grace.
That is to be brought unto you.
That is to be brought unto you.
At the revelation of Jesus Christ.
As obedient children. Now, here's a point that I want to make here. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, why did he put those things together here? Gird up the loins of your mind. Get prepared for it. If you're saved today, there's going to be another level that the Lord requires of you. All right? And he said, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober. What does that mean? That means be balanced. That means to be watchful, to be on guard, be sober. Because what is it saying here? And hope.
And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you
at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he brings these two together. The grace is going to be brought unto you when the Lord reveals himself to you. So the Lord is not going to require you to do anything that he does not give you the grace to do. He's not going to open up your understanding and show you something. I've heard people say, you know what, I'm afraid that if I really get sanctified, then the Lord's going to call me to Africa. Probably not. He might call you across the street, but probably not. Or I'm thinking that the Lord's going to call me to be a preacher. Well, probably not. And most of the people that are afraid of that, when the Lord wants to open himself up and show them, they're afraid for whatever reason. But here's the point. When the Lord gives you a revelation of himself, he brings along with it the grace, and he sets right there to you, here's the grace to be able to accomplish what I'm asking you to do. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how difficult it is. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. What matters is that I want to please the Lord. I want to get to know him. And I want to know him with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I want to love him. And now what God does, he gives us the grace to be able to do what he's requiring us to do. All right? So he says here, gird up the loins of your mind. He said, get ready. So in other words, get prepared for the Lord to give you what you need once he reveals himself to you. The Lord wants to reveal himself to all of us today. He wants to take it out of the realm of the do's and the don'ts and the things that people want to say. Well, this is the saints don't do this and the saints don't do that. The saints don't do a whole lot of things. And the saints do a whole lot of things. But that's not what's important. I want you to stop thinking about it in those kind of terms. Because what that is, that's religion. And what God wants to do, he wants to point you to something more than that. He wants to point you to a revelation of who Christ is. All right, let's go a little farther here. All right, we're going to go down to back in Galatians 11th verse. He says, but I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many mighty eagles. Now, why do you keep saying the Jews' religion? Here was a bunch of laws, right? The Jews' religion was a bunch of laws, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was one that did everything just the way that it was supposed to, and he was so zealous that when these people came in threatening the Jews' religion, he became very violent against them, and he persecuted the church of God. And do you know that there are people like that? There are people that feel like there are certain things, there are things that are coming in, and we should be concerned about things that are coming in, but we need to be careful about that as well, don't we? I think we need to preach a balanced gospel. There are things that are coming in, and they're so zealous that I'm going to, if they're the Church of God police, and they're going to go, and they're going to straighten everybody out, go straighten the ministers out, they're going to straighten the people in the congregation out, and you know who's the biggest problem? They are. Trust me, I've got a little bit of experience. They're the biggest problem. They want to straighten everybody else. Don't be like that. Don't allow the enemy to use you like that. You allow the, you know, there are some things as a pastor, there are some things that we as pastors, we see things that are going on in the congregation, maybe with an individual, and we're not ignorant of it. And some people come in and they're wanting to, so to speak, lead from the back, and they're wanting to tell me or tell the pastor how he should handle certain things in the congregation. But you know what? The Lord gave us the burden for the people. And we're going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account of everything we do and everything we don't do. So it's a very serious thing to me, and I believe that every pastor in here, every minister, is a very serious thing when we see something going on and we're just afraid of addressing it. It's not that we're afraid of addressing it. There are times that the Lord says, don't say anything. Don't do anything. It'll work itself. You get up here and you preach the gospel message and it'll work itself out. And I've seen it happen time and time again. But we're going to go and try to straighten things out. And it doesn't work like that. You know, I told a story the other day, a true story here, there in Dallas. And well, there was a sister that had gotten saved. She came off the street and she'd gotten saved. And she was the Lord was really working with her. The Lord was really blessing her. And the closer she got to the Lord, she said, the more I get closer I get to the Lord, the less I like my husband. I don't want to have anything to do with him. So, of course, as a pastor, you give her the kind of counsel that she's supposed to have. If you heard the story, just bear with me again, okay? You give her the kind of advice of humble yourself, whatever the Lord gives you, the Lord gave me something. And I noticed, if you go back, I noticed it was kind of empty what the Lord gave me. But I gave it to her anyway, and I told her all the right things. And then she came two or three times, and I told her the same things, and I went a little bit deeper, and then I asked her, I said, have you been married before? She said, no, but my husband has. So I gave her the scriptures. At that time, I called them, and you know, this is something you don't want to do. It's never something, you don't want to break families up, and we're not, and I didn't. Some people would have said, well, you needed to tell them whatever. Well, I wasn't going to tell them nothing until the Lord told me. All right? And so sometimes people say, well, you need to get things straight. You need to get things like they need to be. Well, the Lord, it's the Lord's church. It doesn't have church of Daryl. It's church of God. It doesn't have church of whatever minister it is. It's church of God. Allow the Lord to work in his church the way that he wants to. And so what I did is just gave them the scriptures. And I left it with them. Didn't tell them what they needed to do. Didn't tell them what they should do. Didn't tell them anything. They made the decisions. After the Lord revealed himself to them, they made the decision. Still saved today. Still saved today. Why? The Lord reveals his desire, his will in our lives. May the Lord help us to understand that. May the Lord help us to do it. All right? All right, so here we go. So it says, I certify that neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Christ. So he keeps talking about the revelation, and he keeps talking about just religion, just the do's, the don'ts. This is not what we're supposed to do. We're not going to do this, and we're not going to do that. Saints, if that's what your situation is, I understand why you're so unhappy. I understand it. Let me tell you, there are some things. We're talking about the law of God, all right? So one of the things of the law was a schoolmaster, right? And it was to bring the people to what? Christ. So we talk about freedoms. I want to be free, Brother Daryl. I want to have the freedom. I don't want to be bound with all this legalism. Let me tell you, every freedom is based on a law. Every freedom. There is no such thing as freedom without laws. In the Garden of Eden, you know why they had a free will? Because they had a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If they did not have that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and a law that says don't touch it, they would not have had a free will. All right, but a free will, there are restrictions. There are ordinances, all these things. There are restrictions by nature. A law is restrictive, right? But a law gives us freedom. We have the freedoms in our country because of the laws of our nation, right? Well, in the same way, there are freedoms in the church. There are freedoms that we have. And the basic freedoms is not that I can wear what I want to wear. And that's one of the hot buttons that everybody has. You can wear whatever you want to wear as long as it's pleasing to the Lord. And Brother Daryl and all the other ministers, we are not the Church of God police to tell you what to do. This is how I preach at home. If I'm wrong, y'all come and tell me afterwards. May the Lord help us. We're not the police and going up there tapping you on the shoulder. Your skirt needs to be a little bit longer. Let me tell you, you preach the word and the Holy Ghost will reveal himself to that person. And most of the time, we never have to go to him. I've never told anybody how to dress, ever. Maybe my children. But I've never gone to anybody and said, you need to dress like this. May the Lord help. The Lord, if he reveals himself to you, he'll give you the grace to dress like he wants you to dress. I don't have a heaven to take you to. But the Lord does. You know, I'll tell a little story. I'll tell a story of this man. Well, it's me. I was a very spiffy dresser when I was saved. I was saved, but I don't know that I was quite sanctified. But I loved bright colors and then the latest fashions and all that kind of stuff when I was young. And I, There was this young lady that I happen to be married to for 35 years now that bought me a gift. And it was a very, the first thing that she bought me when we were engaged, excuse me for talking about this, I know we were, but I think it brings out a point, so forgive me for that. But she bought me, the first gift that my wife, at that time my fiance, bought me was a pair of pants and a shirt. And it was a gray shirt and a charcoal gray pants. Probably the blandest thing that I've ever seen in my life. It was not my style. It wasn't my style. I wouldn't have spent the money on it. But you know what? It came from the object of my affection. And so you know what? It told me something. A little bit of something. She's a lot more conservative than I am. Number one. And number two is I wore it because I was in love. It came from the object of my affection, so I wore it. And I wore it proudly, if you can allow me to say that. I know saints aren't supposed to be proud, but I wore it proudly. And you know what? Eventually the Lord sanctified me wholly. He revealed to me that there are some things that you didn't need to be wearing, and nobody ever told me that. Nobody ever came and said, Brother Daryl, you're dressing too flashy. You got all these colors, and if I told you all the things that I wore, I'd be embarrassed about it. But you know, the Lord began to deal with, and the Lord speaks, and the Lord reveals himself. And you know what? Here's the point. The point is the object of my affection was what wanted me, I was pleased with it, and what difference did it make to everybody else? You know what? We try to look good for people at Walmart. You don't even know their names. You're trying to look good for people. I'm wanting to look good for myself. No, you don't. If you want to look good for yourself, get up in the morning and do your hair before you go out and walk around doing the housework, all that kind of stuff, all dressed up nice like what you want to go to at Walmart. You know what we do? We put on a house coat, we put on our pajamas, and we scoot around in our house shoes all day long. So you really want to look good for yourself? For real? And you expect us to believe that? No, there is something. You know what the Lord dealt with? There was something in the heart of that little boy over there that didn't like a bland gray shirt and a charcoal pants. But the Lord changed his heart. The Lord revealed that that's not appropriate. There are those red pants, those green pants, that pink shirt, all those kinds of things that you would wear. That's not appropriate for a saint of God. And the Lord did it. Nobody came, well, brother, you don't need to be doing that. That's not according to the scriptures and whatnot. That's not what happened. The Lord revealed himself, and the Lord made a choice in it. All right? And all I did is I had to have the grace to get rid of all that stuff and to start wearing bland clothes. Lord gave me the grace to do it. I am all for us looking nice. Everybody, saints, should look nice. But we shouldn't try to look like the world. And let me tell you, so what we see is, oh, this is just a religion of the do's and don'ts. The saints don't do this, and the saints don't do this. Don't look at that. No, what we want you to do, we want you to get a hold of the revelation of Christ. So here's what the law is. The law being restrictive, it gives us freedom, doesn't it? Even though it's some laws, go out here on the highway, and there's this yellow line that runs the length of the highway, doesn't it? And it's restricting me from going over on the other lane. And you know what? And I have to stay in my lane. Why? Because it's my safety. It's my freedom. So I stay in that lane. And you know what? And even when that lane is not there, when that line is not there, I still have this understanding to stay over on the right-hand side. It's already been, I have that understanding. I have that revelation that the safety is in this. So let me tell you, some of those do's and don'ts, some of those things that the saints are talking about, and some of the things that the saints require, you get to know why. And what I like to teach, and what I think is very important for us to get a hold of, you teach the principle, not just the thing. Why do we do it? This is what we do. This is why we do it. And you teach it from a child up. It's not that, oh, the saints don't do it. Well, you don't do that because that's not going to be pleasing to the saints. I don't care about the saints. We don't need to care about, Lord, help me. You understand what I'm saying when I say that. It's not about what the saints. It's about the object of your affection. The law is to lead you to the lawgiver. And so let me tell you, there's something about the law that tells you a little bit about the lawgiver, doesn't it? Whoever made the law, there is something about that individual and the character of that individual that the more you know about that law, the more you know about the lawgiver, what he requires, what he desires, why he desires it, what's the benefit. So what's the benefit of me standing on the right-hand side of the road? Down the gravel pathway, we drive on the right side. There's no line there whatsoever. But we have an understanding. So what does that tell us? That tells us even when no one's there, when no one is looking, my freedom is based on me stand in the lane. That makes sense? All right. Okay. I think that's important. I think it's very important because I think that that's where we're going wrong. And I think that if we're not careful, there will be some of us that will promote and be like Paul. He was very zealous of the traditions of the Father. And I'm one of those that have respect for the traditions and I have respect for that. But that's not what saves us. It's not what saves us. And may the Lord help us to understand that. And may the Lord help us to have the freedom. Lord, help us. The freedom to understand why we do what we do. And then the freedom to get the grace to go up to that particular level. Wherever you are, you stay there. But you it's fine for you to live there, but don't stay there. And then there are those that say, you know what, I've tried, I've been saved for how many years? I tried to live saved for the last 10 years, and I was just having a struggle with the do's and the don'ts, and I was just having these things, so I just threw the whole thing down, and now I have liberty. Really? Look at somebody's life that lives like the saints, that truly lives, not the people that are not really doing it. And then look at somebody's life who doesn't do it. And you tell me who's better. You tell me who's better. Who's better off. All right? We'll go a little farther here. Okay, so it says here, and I'm going to go drop down to the 15th verse, and it says, "And when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me." Now, here's an interesting point. It didn't say reveal his son to me. All right? So when I reveal something to you, there's quite different than reveal his son in me. Now, when the Lord reveals his son in me, there's a change that takes place. The Lord changes who we are. There's a revelation, and not only is there a revelation of God to me, but there's a revelation of God to other people. You know that there are people that are saved, that the Lord has saved, and the Lord has sanctified, and the Lord has revealed himself in them, and they are changed people. You'd be shocked and surprised at who they are and what they are and what they used to be. May the Lord help. The Lord not only wants to reveal himself to you, he wants to reveal himself in you. Where now the old man is passed away, behold, all things become new. All things are new now. That's what the Lord wants to do. All right? All right, goes on a little bit farther. I want to go to... let's go to James. I want to read a couple of scriptures in one scripture in James. James, the second chapter, 12th verse. And so it says here, "So speak ye, and so do,
as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty."
By the law of liberty. Now here's the point that we want to make. That shall be judged by the law of liberty. So we've got two things here. We've got law, and then we've got liberty. But this is interesting that the scripture put it together, the law of liberty. So in other words, again, what we say is that there is no liberty where there is no law. All right? So if it says the law of liberty, so there are going to be some restrictions. So if we are of the group or whatever, a group of people that are saying, you know what, I don't want any restrictions on me. I want to do what I want to do. I want to go where I want to go. I want to do what I want to do. You can do what you want to do. But the only person that truly can do what they want to do is a child of God. That is the only person. We can go where we want to go. You know the best thing, you may have heard me say it, but the best thing about salvation is my ability to say no. That when the devil wants you to do something, you say, no, I'm not going to do it. And you have the power and the grace not to do it. No matter how much peer pressure you have, no matter what's going on, you have the power to say no to the devil. And when you're not saved, you don't have that kind of power. You don't have that kind of authority. You don't have that kind of a grace to be able to resist the temptations that the enemy is presenting to you. You've got the power to say no. The law of liberty. The law of liberty in Christ Jesus. What does the scripture say in another place? Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter and the 2nd verse. It says, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." So what it's talking about, the law of Christ... The law of Christ has made me free from the law of sin. So you want true freedom. What is going to be found in the law of Christ. You're either going to be under bondage to sin or you're going to be under the law of Christ. One or the other. So what we have to understand is this is very important for us to get a hold of, that the only freedom that we have really and truly is in Christ Jesus. That's all that we got. We have no other freedom, and there's nothing else that we can do. May the Lord help us to understand that our laws. Here's another point about law. For the law, the spirit of life. So here's what's the most important thing. The most important thing is not the law. The most important thing is the reason that I stay on the right-hand side, or we stay on the right-hand side as we are driving down the road, is because it protects our life. It really protects our life. If we abide by the rules of the road and everybody else does, we maintain our life. If we don't, we lose it. Yes. All right? When we decide that we're going to do something completely different than the law. So here's what I want to make known to us. In the things, the do's and the don'ts, what we have to understand is not about the law. It's about protecting life. Yes. It's about protecting your life, your spiritual life, the life in Christ. So let me tell you, let's just say, have you ever looked in the mirror and you thought that you looked good? Have you? You thought that this outfit that you've got on, and you looked at it, you said, well, you know, I look pretty good. It takes 10 pounds off, and you kind of turn around and you do that. You look pretty good about it. You feel good about yourself. You can walk out to the people and you can talk with a level of confidence. Because hold your head up high, right? Because you know you look good, all right? Nothing wrong with that, right? As long as you don't take it too far. Some people go out and they don't look good and they think they do. You don't want to be those kind of people, all right? But, oh, you know, this looks nice. And you say, babe, how does this look? How does this make me look? Oh, you look really nice in that. And you get reinforcement, don't you? But let me tell you. So what we have on affects how we feel, all right? What we got on affects how we feel. So let me tell you, if you got something on that's inappropriate, you're probably going to feel, and you're wearing something, particularly with the women, we have this kind of issue, and some guy whistles at you. Have you ever whipped you? You know how we used to do that? I'm not a good whistler. But that makes you feel a certain way, right? And if you've got something down in the depths of your heart that is responding to that, that's what you want. Lord, help us. Oh, we men can have the problem too with our little muscle shirts and little tank tops and all these kinds of things. May the Lord help us. We think we look good too. Don't blame it all on the women. Some girls say, oh, you smelling good. Somebody ever said that to you? I heard somebody say that to somebody. Oh, you smelling good. Oh, he's kind of feel a little. It makes you feel a certain way, right? We got to be careful about that thing. So you know what? And so what happens? If you keep feeding that, if you keep feeding it, and she said, I smelled good, and so I'm going to wear that cologne again. And you keep feeding it, something's going to happen to the life that's in you. All right, there's not anything. You know what? What we do is if she said it and she did it like that, you go, I ain't wearing that no more. Because the only person you need to look good for is the one that you love. No matter what you think about me, as long as my wife thinks I look good, it doesn't matter what you think. I'm not dressing for you. We're doing it for the one that we love. So what does that mean? How does that relate into spiritual matters? It relates into spiritual matters because we're not doing it for everybody at Walmart or down at the gas station when we get out and we're looking good and we want to hear the whistles. We want to hear the whistles from the Lord. He's the object of our affection. The law of the Jews was to point them to Christ. The laws that we have, the do's and don'ts among the saints, are to point you to Christ, a revelation, a personal experience with the Lord. It's not just restrictions. It's to protect your life. Because what you do and what you don't do is going to affect you in some kind of way. We're going to move right along. All right, let's go to Acts, the 9th chapter. We're going to read a little bit here. Acts, the 9th chapter. Let's start at the 3rd verse, please.
And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus.
He journeyed, he came near Damascus.
I'm sorry, Acts what?
Acts 9, verse...
Oh, yes. 9:3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus.
Yes.
And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth.
Heard a voice saying unto him,
Saul, Saul.
Saul, Saul.
Why persecutest thou me?
And he said,
Who art thou,
Lord?
And the Lord said, I am Jesus.
Whom thou persecutest.
It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said,
Lord,
what wilt thou have me to do?
And the Lord said unto him,
Arise and go into the city,
and it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. Now, here is the situation. This is why Paul, if we go back to the beginning where he's talking to the Galatians, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from that. What it tells me is that you really didn't have the revelation like what you needed. Saints, this is what we're doing. What these messages are, and Monarch, what the Monarch meeting is all about, and what we do when we stand in the pulpits in our home, what we're trying to do is show you Jesus. What we're trying to live, the life that we're trying to live, the reason that we allow people to spit in our face and slap us on the face, and we take all of this, is because we want to show you Jesus. He's revealed in us. And we are part of his body, and we want to show you that there's a better way. And that's why we do it. That's why we preach. That's why these 10 days and 30 services and all the things, everything, all of it points straight to Christ. May the Lord help us. Help us to understand it. Lord, I want to see, you know, here is Paul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You heard about it. You saw Stephen. I saw Stephen. You held his clothes are right there. All the clothes of the ones that stoned him. You heard him. You heard. You saw Jesus revealed in him. You saw him as he looked up and he said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. You heard all of that, Saul. You were pricked by it, but you just closed your ears. Let me tell you, there are some of us here tonight that are closing our ears to what we see plainly. Closing our eyes and closing our ears to what we hear. Closing our ears to what we hear plainly. Closing our eyes to what we see plainly. It's real. May the Lord help us. All right. So he says here, it's hard for thee to kick against the prick. And what is the first thing that he said? He said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. So he says, who is Jesus? Jesus is more than just one man. Jesus is, we're the body of Christ. We're the body. We're his body. And so he says, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And what was the thing? And he said, the next thing he said is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what he have us to do. Now we understand, for the sake of time, we won't go through the whole thing. But one of the first things that happened is this man that was in authority was put under authority. One of the first things that the Lord wants to teach us is to be under authority. And one of the first things that we don't want to do is be under authority. I want to do what I want to do. I want to go where I want to go. I want to do what I want. And then the other thing is, after that, this man was blind. He was completely blind, and somebody had to lead him along the way. And then what happened is there was a setting aside. He was blind, and he was blind for 3 days, and the Lord revealed something to him. The Lord revealed his body to him. And he said that there's going to be a man named Ananias, and he's going to come, and he's going to lay hand on you, and you're going to receive your sight. And then the Lord went over here to Ananias, and he talked to Ananias. He said, go over there and talk to Paul. He said, well, Lord, isn't that the man that's been giving us all the problem? He says, yes, but he's a chosen vessel for me. And so he goes over there, and the Lord said, now you notice what the Lord did not say to him. He said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Now the Lord was right there. He had an audience with the Lord. The Lord had revealed himself to him. But the thing that the Lord did to Paul, he said, you go into the city and it'll be told what you're going to do. You know what he's doing? He's putting him under the authority of his body. None of us are independent. I am not independent. Yes, our congregations are autonomous, but we're not independent. I have a submission to the body in general. Brother Darrell, you're under the bondage of these brethren at Monarch. No, I'm not under the bondage. I'm under the bondage of Christ. And as long as they're under the bondage of Christ, I'm along with them. Yeah. Now, when they crawl out of Christ's protection, then I'm not going to follow them anymore. And you don't have to either. We say, follow me even as I am also a follower of Christ. There is no expectation or requirement for any of us to follow anybody that is not following Christ. I don't care what they call them. Call yourself pastor. Call yourself evangelist. Call yourself prophet. Call yourself whatever you want to do. But if you're not following Christ, I'm under no obligation to follow you. It's true. So our responsibility, what keeps me, what keeps these brethren in line is the fact that God is the chief shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. And they're going to have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as they're following the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be safe to follow them. And you, here's the point, though. You know Christ for yourself. He has to be revealed to you. You can't just do, well, this is what Brother Daryl told me to do it. This is what Brother so-and-so told me to do it. I'm doing it because I don't know why I'm doing it, but I'm doing it. No, that's not how you do it. You have to stand before the Lord. You're going to have to stand before the Lord for yourself. And when you stand before the Lord for yourself, you're going to have to give an account of the things that you've done in your body. And it's not going to be, well, what did Brother Daryl tell you to do? It's going to be what the Lord told you to do. Now, here's the other thing. Now, you see how this is? It says, the Lord told Ananias, and he said, it's going to be told you what to do. And so there are times that the Lord, now here's the point. The Lord already talked to Paul. And he told Paul what was going to happen. All right? And Paul already had a revelation of Christ. And Paul already had an understanding of what the Lord was going to do. And he was just waiting for the timing for the Lord to do it. So this is how it works also for us. The Lord is not going to tell me to tell you to do something that you don't, that just because you don't want to do. Most of the time, the things that the counsel that we give, that the ministry gives to people, they already know it. I don't know that I've ever given counsel that somebody was just completely baffled and didn't know what to do, but I've had numerous times, and I believe all of us have, we've had numerous times where we say, well, you know, the Lord's kind of been talking to me about that. Okay. And that's just a witness. All it was a witness. And so that's what it is. Saints, what we need to know the Lord for ourselves. It is not just for the ministry to know the Lord. You've got to know Him. He's got to be revealed. He's trying to reveal Himself to you. As He reveals Himself to you, He wants to give you the grace to do what He wants you to do. You think it was easy for Paul to go over there and be blind for 3 days? You think Paul needed some grace? Paul was praying. He was in constant prayer. He went boldly to the throne after it had been revealed to him who Christ was. May the Lord reveal Himself to you. May He reveal Himself to you through the Word of God. It's all there. And all we have to do is ask the Lord, Lord, give me a personal revelation, a vision. Give me a vision of You. Give me a vision of the church. Give me a vision of what I'm supposed to be a part of. And the Lord will do that. The Lord will give you a vision. All right? Okay, so revelation is vital to relationship. You know the person, you know the object, the whole point. It is not about the religion, it's about the object of the religion. Okay, so all the ordinances in the Bible, all the things that the Jews were to do, that was to point them to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Everything was to show them what the character of the lawgiver was. What his character was. And then they point him to. And once we understand that, we can embrace it. And once we understand that the things that the Lord requires of us are the things that the church, I believe every doctrine in the church should be according to Scripture. And if it's not, no one has to follow it. No one, including me. So if you find something in the Scripture that you don't think is exactly right, first of all, you got to have the right spirit about it. If you're just looking for some out, then you're going to find that out. And I'm going to be baffled and marvel that you're so soon removed to another gospel. When you try to find things in the Scripture that aren't really there, I've seen people do it all down through the years. All down through the years, they try to find something that's not there and to justify. Because you know what really, the real thing is? We are not made to disobey. There is something about us. And we all, the only way that we can truly disobey is we justify it in some kind of way. Yeah, I know it's wrong, but... And so there's the justification. I'm doing this anyway. I know it's wrong. It may not be the best thing to do, but there's justifiable reason for me to do it. May the Lord help you. That's all kind of justifying. When I stand before the Lord, am I going to be justified in what I'm doing? Lord, help us. All right. We're trying to get to the end of this. So in other words, we reveal ourselves to the ones with which we have a relationship. So the person that you're most closest to is the person that knows the most about you, right? And so if you want to know something about the Lord, get close to Him. Get as close to Him. And then, you know, and then you can say, well, Lord, are you requiring these things of me? Something that's completely outside of what the church is doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then you're in harmony with the church, not because you're doing what the church is doing, because you're doing what Christ is wanting you to do, and the church is doing what Christ is wanting them to do. It's Ananias. the rest of the Jews that were there. All right? Okay, we're almost done here. I want to turn to Philippians, the third chapter. So I want to say get to know him, not just the doctrine. Oh, the doctrine of the church or the law. Get to know Christ. Now, here's a point. Here's another point that makes sense to me. That with Paul, all of this, he was going around destroying the Jews and all this kind of thing. And then when he met Christ, it all made sense to him. All the things that Stephen went through, it made sense to him. And all the things that he had watched and brought all the other people to, he understood it in a different light now. And now it was a blessing to him. And that's when he went to the Galatians. He said, I'm shocked. If you knew what I knew, if you had the understanding if you had the revelation that I had, you wouldn't be doing the things that you're doing. You wouldn't be turning away. And so what I want to say to us, get a revelation. Amen. Get a revelation. All right. So it says that I may know him. That's the Philippians, the third chapter, eighth verse.
Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss.
I count all things but loss.
For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ.
Excellency of the knowledge of God.
Knowledge of Christ Jesus,
my
Lord.
Of Christ Jesus, our Lord.
For whom I have suffered the loss of all things.
I have suffered the loss of all things.
And do count them but dung.
I count them but dung.
That I may win Christ.
That I may win Christ.
And be found in him.
And be found in him.
Not having mine own
righteousness.
Which is of the law.
Which is of the law.
But that which is through the faith of Christ.
That which is through the faith of Christ. I can have my own righteousness. This is what works for me. Do what works for you. No, I've got to do what works for God. Because that's it's his heaven that I'm trying to get to. All right, read.
The righteousness which is of God by faith.
God by faith.
That I may know him.
This is what I want us to get over. That I may know him
and the power of his
resurrection
and the fellowship,
and the
of, his
fellowship of his sufferings
being made conformable
to his death. So in other words, I want to know him. I want you to know the Lord. And this is the whole purpose of this meeting. This whole series of meetings is to get you to know the Lord. One more scripture and we'll be done. Appreciate your patience. Matthew 16 verse 13. Start at the 13th verse, please. Matthew 16 verse 13.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi,
yes,
he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man,
that
am?
That I, the Son of Man, am.
And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist.
Some say that thou art John the Baptist.
Some Elias. And others Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets.
They knew he was something great. They knew he was something grand.
He saith unto them. But whom say ye?
All right, they are saying that. The people that are out in the world are saying that. But you're walking with me. What do you say? Who do you say that the Son of Man is? Who do you say I am? All right.
And
Simon Peter
answered and said,
Thou art the Christ,
the Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God. Do you know that we can have a personal relationship with Christ, the Son of the Living God? Do you know when he said that he was going to go away and he was going to send the Holy Ghost? He wanted us. He said he's going to be with you. He's with you and he shall be in you. He. Did you notice that he said that? He said he. He didn't say it. He said he. There is a personal relationship there. That the Lord wants you to have a personal relationship with him. So he sends his spirit down to possess you and to reveal himself in you so that you can have a personal revelation of who Christ is. What did he say? He's going to lead you into all truths. And what did it say? There was a scripture that was read this morning. It was talking about grace and truth. Do you realize that every time that there is truth that is revealed to us, there is grace that comes along with it for us to be able to live up to the truth that we understand? Let me tell you, it's not easy. I've been in some places that the Lord has required us to go. And there are some things that, Lord, it's just too hard. It just seems like it's too much. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect. In your weakness, yes, we're going to be weak. There are going to be some things in our experience that we don't want to go through. There are going to be some things. Now, we can either justify it or we can get the grace to go through it. I don't think it's necessary for us to do all that. All that ain't necessary. The Lord don't require that. How do you know what the Lord requires? Everybody's an expert. You go on YouTube and everybody's an expert on everything. May the Lord help us. You know how it is. Ain't none of us been to heaven yet. So you know what I'm going to do? When I get there, you can say, well, all that's not necessary. Well, I say, okay, when we get to heaven, let's talk about it. But I'm not going to talk about it until I get there. I'm going to, by the grace of God, I'm going to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ for myself. Not for the congregation, but for me. Not for my family and my wife, but for me. I want to know him. I want to know him more. I want to know him better. And everything that I'm doing, the reason I'm sitting on these hard benches with little pillows on them, the reason we're doing that because we want to know the Lord, don't we? I want to know the Lord. Lord, I want to know you that I may know you. May the Lord help us. Not the laws. Stop with the do's and the don'ts. Stop with the religion. We don't want to have religion anymore. I want revelation. I want to understand what the Lord would have me to do. And once I understand, once I know him, then I'll understand all the other things. And if I don't, then yeah, it's just an empty religion. That's exactly what we're doing. All the things that we're sitting here doing, if you don't know Christ and it's not pointed you to the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, it's an empty religion. Just as well throw it down. But it's just to point you to the Lord. Get to know the Lord today. Get acquainted. Get acquainted with the Lord today. Pray for me.